morning, Decatur, Illinois. This is Pastor Matthew Versman and the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church in Decatur, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue on the southeast side of Decatur. Our Sunday morning worship is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and adult Bible classes at 10:15 a.m. We'd like to invite you to worship with us, especially if you don't have a church home. Please join us and join us soon. Let us begin our worship service this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is appropriate that we confess our sins unto God, our Father, every day, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, asking Him to forgive us because of the continuance of sin in our lives. And so we confess. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for my sins, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I have the privilege of announcing to you that God loves you, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the manger of Bethlehem and then the cross of Calvary to die for you. And Jesus did die for you to forgive your sins. Therefore, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of God's word, announce the grace of God unto each of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 20, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our message today is from Mark chapter 1, and it reads, "This is the beginning of the gospel about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. This is the holy gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Dear friends in Christ, imagine yourself standing in the wilderness across the Jordan River. Maybe you've come down to wash or to bathe or to wash clothes, whatever it might be, to take water back to your house. When all of a sudden you hear a shouting from a distance, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And then you see a wild-haired, bushy-bearded man approaching with honey and grasshopper legs sticking in his beard. His skin is bronzed and wrinkled by the sun. His eyes are ablaze with prophetic fire. He is dressed like a prophet, straight out of the Old Testament, coarse camel's hair and a leather sash around his waist. If you didn't know better, you'd swear it was Elijah, come back from heaven. And then you realize You are standing on the very spot where Elijah was whisked off to heaven in a chariot of fire centuries before, and you're wondering, what in the world is going on? Soon, this strange figure draws closer to you, and now demanding of you, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It could mean in the Greek, close enough to be able to touch it. He's looking directly at you, pointing his bony, bee-stung index finger in your face. Yes, he means you, the pious, the religious, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the wannabes, you and me, tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners. It doesn't matter who or what you are. One thing we all are is sinners. So repent. Are you a good person? Then repent of your assumed goodness, for you're not good enough to stand before an all-righteous God. Are you a bad person? Then repent of your badness, because it's worse than you think it is. And for both, the wages of sin is death. Who is this strange man with this funny wilderness diet, grasshoppers and wild honey? What's up with that? Where did he come from? And who sent him? His name is John the Baptizer. His parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were extraordinarily old when he was born, and now they're long dead. And so John was raised as an orphan in the wilderness. He seems to want nothing to do with the temple or the religious do-gooders in Jerusalem. His business is at the Jordan River, calling all people to repent and to be baptized for forgiveness, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it is at hand for you right now, this moment, today, in the hearing of the same words John spoke. Can you see why John's baptism drew such controversy and so many people? He demanded all people, including all the Israelites, the Pharisees, Sadducees, wannabes, you and me, to be washed, implying what? That they were and we are unclean because of sin. In fact, he singles out the religious leaders with the harshest words. For it's the religious who often have the hardest time admitting we're sinners. John tells the religious, "You brood of vipers, you bunch of rattlesnakes, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and don't start jabbering about how you have Abraham as your father or Luther as your forefather, for God can raise up children for Abraham out of these stones and rocks you see over there. So repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is close enough so as to be able to touch it today in the hearing of this message." I wonder what they thought. What do you think when someone says to you, repent? Our default position is, repent of what? What did I do? Me repent? Why, you should talk. You're the one who needs to repent. Sorry, folks, you don't get that luxury. John is speaking to everyone, whether you like it or not. A day of wrath and judgment and fire is coming. And if you don't want it to hit you, then repent of your sins. For as Luke 18 says, and this is Jesus himself, unless you repent, you will perish. John's appearing in the Judean wilderness marks the end of the Old Testament. The prophet Malachi had prophesied that Elijah would come before the day of the Lord to prepare the hearts of all people, and then suddenly the Lord whom you desire will come to his temple. And then Jesus said in Matthew 11 himself, Jesus said, and if you can accept it, I'm here to tell you, John the baptizer is the Elijah who was to come as promised by Malachi. So John came in the spirit of Elijah, and he's the last of the Old Testament prophets. The other prophets pointed to Jesus from a distance. John points directly at Jesus face to face in the flesh. Behold the Lamb of God right there, that person who takes away the sin of the world. That's why John could truly say the kingdom of heaven is at hand, close enough to be able to touch it. You could see Jesus, walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, touch Jesus. Your salvation is in Jesus. After thousands of years of waiting, the time for Israel's redemption and the whole world's redemption had arrived. God keeps his promises. In fact, he's got a perfect track record of keeping his promises. For those of you who think like, well, Christ is never coming again, he's got a perfect track record of keeping all of his other promises, and with the exception of his coming on the last day, which he cannot fulfill technically until the last day. The age of the Messiah has dawned with the coming of Jesus Christ, our Shepherd King. And God's people, both then and now, are in need of cleansing. It's not that unusual. For example, when something important is about to happen in your life, like going to a worship service, going to a wedding, going to an important engagement, or meeting someone special, we usually take a bath or shower. What John was doing, however, was calling all people, including all Israel, to be washed and ready for the coming of our Savior. Not just take a bath that washes dirt off the outside. We needed a cleansing that removes sin from the inside. And the Bible says in 1 John 1, as often as you confess your sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just the unrighteousness you have done, but also the unrighteousness others have done to you. So that in Christ, through repentance and his forgiving blood, we stand before God cleansed. The Greek word for repent is metanoia. It means to have a complete change of mind about your sin. The word literally means change your mind or change your brain or change your thinking. Repentance is a total flip of the mind and the will. The time was at hand, and for you who are hearing this, the time is at hand. There's no tomorrow, no procrastination when the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is zero hour as you hear these words. When Jesus is offering you right now today through his gospel, the forgiveness of every sin you ever did wrong, the forgiveness of every sin that would keep you out of heaven, the forgiveness of every sin that made God mad at you, and a place in his kingdom. It's zero hour. Now, it's now or never. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and believe the good news for the forgiveness of your sins. And you don't know that if you blow off Jesus today, that if you blow off the Jesus you are hearing preached to you this day, you don't know if you'll ever have another chance to be forgiven again. Perhaps you noticed a parallel. John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins to prepare those people for Jesus' first appearing as Savior. But Jesus has given us, his church, a baptism of repentance for forgiveness to prepare us for his second coming. We too are called to repentance, that the sinner in us, in repentance, we would drown it and put it to death with all of its sins and lust, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through the good news that God loves and forgives us, daily a new person would arise, that new creation that God made us to be would arise to live before God in Christ. The baptism we received is different than John's in that our baptism came from Jesus with the fiery Pentecost wind of his Holy Spirit. John's baptism was fulfilled when Jesus stood in the water before John to be baptized by him. The heavens were opened and the Spirit descended on him, and the Spirit declared, "This is my beloved Son," to which John responded, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." His baptism was to prepare people for the coming, the first coming of the Messiah, and to prepare us in humility to die and rise with him. But the purpose of our baptism is to prepare the way for Jesus to come and make his manger in our hearts, but also to prepare us for the second coming of Jesus in glory, to raise the dead and bring salvation to all who are waiting for him. Our baptism joins us to Jesus in his death over our sins and in his resurrection over our death, so that we might die and rise to live forever. Your baptism is fulfilled on the day you die and the angels carry your soul or spirit to heaven, and it is fulfilled again on the last day when God raises you from the dead bodily, so that body and soul, we go home to heaven to be with our Lord forever. John preached Jesus as the promised coming one. It's striking the kind of people are the kind of Jesus that John preaches. The Jesus John preaches is really not the one that shows up. The Jesus John preaches has a winnowing fork in his hand, a fire of judgment kindled, and he's ready to toss the chaff into the unquenchable fire as he gathers his wheat into his barn. The Jesus John preaches already has an axe laid to the root of every fruitless tree. Would you want to meet this Jesus on those terms? I wouldn't. We'd all be toast. Psalm 130 verse 3 says, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?" Yet when Jesus finally appears, he doesn't appear as those things John had just pictured him. He appears humble and meek. He submits himself to John's baptism, which is his ordination into the office of our bleeding and dying Savior. Jesus submits himself to John's baptism of repentance, even though he has no sins of his own. But what's going on is that Jesus is being baptized into our sin and our death to pay for it all, so that we can be baptized into his forgiveness and his life. Instead of an axe and a winnowing fork, Jesus comes with a cross and forgiving blood. Instead of coming in judgment, Jesus comes to be judged. It's no wonder that John had his doubts and had to ask if Jesus really was the Messiah. Gentle Jesus hardly seemed to fit the bill. But that's precisely the point. I want to make sure you get this. Jesus comes as the good news in answer to John's law. Who would have known that the axe of God's wrath, already laid at our feet, would be laid against God's promised Son on the cross with spear and nails? Who would have known that the fire of God's judgment, ready to be poured out on sinners, would be poured out on Jesus instead of us? Who would have known that the way into the kingdom of heaven is for the king to die for his subjects and rise from the dead? We think this is no way to win a war, but shed blood wins. Jesus has come to do all the work of saving us, and we get all the charges against us dropped. 700 years before John arrived, the prophet Isaiah saw the coming kingdom in the form of a tiny shoot sprouting up from the stump of King David's family. And from that sprout, a righteous branch would appear that would bear fruit. Isaiah said that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him, this righteous branch, and he would judge the world by his righteousness, and he would restore harmony, total restoration, and peace between God and all creation, so that even the wolf and the lamb would lie down in peace, and even a child would play near the hole of a cobra and would be safe. Isaiah saw a day when the root of Jesse would become a banner lifted high, a sign for all people, whose resting place would be glorious. From its humble beginnings to its glorious ending, this sprout, this righteous branch, become a new tree of life, bearing the fruit of forgiveness, life, and salvation, from which the repentant may eat the fruits of Christ's cross and live forevermore. You don't want to miss out on this kingdom. It's greater than anything you've ever seen here on earth, greater than anything you've ever heard in your life, greater than anything you've ever imagined in your mind or ever dreamed of. It's never-ending life in the very paradise or lush garden of God. So, if you don't want to miss it, repent. Turn from your sin. Change your mind about your sin, especially now in the hearing of these words, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand today, right now, for you. The message is the same today in our wilderness world as it was in John's wilderness world. Repent. Turn from your sins that are killing you. Turn from your sinful self, for the heart of your problem is the problem of your heart. Turn away from your death that your sins have gotten you into, and then be baptized into Christ's death over your sins, into Christ's resurrection over your death, and receive the forgiveness of sins and life forevermore. Look to Christ, the Lamb of God, lifted up on the tree of the cross in your place. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away away your sin. Eat the wilderness food, not of honey and grasshoppers, but of the body given for you and the blood of Christ shed for your forgiveness. This is how you prepare the way of the Lord. This is how you make his paths straight. And then, not only will all nations see the salvation of our God, but you will see your salvation too. lying in the crib, hanging on the cross, walking out of the tomb, ascending to heaven to prepare a place for you, coming back with the angels in all glory to take you home to heaven. He already won your salvation. His forgiveness is already yours. And he's coming one more time to bring salvation to those who are repentantly waiting for him. All in Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Savior unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for, in the Old Testament in Samuel, how it says that you devise ways that sinners may not remain estranged from you. And oh, how you devise the most wonderful, miraculous way in the sending of your Son into our very flesh. Flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone and blood of our blood, born of Mary in blood, that he may one day then die in blood for our salvation. We thank you that Christ lived perfectly for us, and he has given us his righteousness that avails before you. We thank you that Jesus died innocently for us, and he has forgiven every sin that would keep us separated from you. He has set us free from the accusations and tyranny of Satan. We pray, dear Lord, this Advent tide, that you would grant us your Holy Spirit, who would continue to work both repentance of our sins and a faithful and complete turning to you in faith for your forgiveness and for our salvation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'd like to thank you again for tuning in to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. We'd like you to join us for worship, especially if you don't have a church home. And we would also like to ask that if you are being blessed by this radio broadcast, if you would please call our church at 217-422-3630 and let us know that this has been a blessing to your faith. And now, depart in Christ peace, and may the Lord bless you and your week ahead through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.